everybody. Bill Faith here, coming to you live from the Limo University studios. And we are about ready to drop episode number 8 of the Paid Traffic Show. I'm Bill Faith. This is Mark Petrie. Let's get this show on the road. Can you hear me, Mark?
Yep.
How was sorry, Mark. We were just talking about Mark's new IKEA furniture that he got in his office there. I like that, Mark. You just got to get some more stuff filled in around there.
Yeah, I'm looking for things.
So what did I see? Three books right behind you. What are those three books? What does a Google Ads guru read in the three books?
Let's see. I've got Tony Robbins, Jordan Belfort, A Little Think and Grow Rich, E Myth Revisited, Michael Gerber.
It's all about working on your business instead of in your business.
You got it.
All right, let's get this show kicked off. Chris, what do we got today? What's our first question?
Hey, Mark, what are the difference in ad group types and what should people be using to set up ad groups?
Yeah, of course. So I made a video about this that I'll be releasing in a few days. So if you guys saw me at the conference, I know most of you didn't, but what the number one one of the biggest issues I see with most Google ad campaigns is they're not using enough ad groups. So ad groups are two things. Just as a quick refresher, they're your keywords and they're your ads. When one of the keywords gets triggered, an ad is shown. And so what you want to do is you want to segment your ad groups by a few different types. I use vehicle type ad groups. So for instance, you're going to have an ad group for car service. You'd have an ad group for limo service. You'd have an ad group for party bus rentals. For all of your different vehicles, you want them to have their own ad group. And inside those ad groups, you're going to have keywords, like for limo service, it might be limo service or just limo might be some keywords. For minibus, the keyword might be minibus or minibus service. And then you want those keywords to match the ads. So when one of those keywords is triggered, an ad is shown that is relevant to the user. So the different types of ad groups I use are the most popular ones are vehicle based because most people, that's what they're searching for. And then I also use another type that's location plus vehicle. So for instance, if you're in LA, you want lots of different ad groups for all of the smaller cities in LA. So let's say Culver City, what else? I guess Malibu. I don't think that's in Emory County, but lots of different ad groups for the different cities within that larger geographic area, because many times someone's searching for a small city and you want the ad to match the city they search. That's going to give you a higher click-through rate, which is going to give you a lower cost per click. And the third type is service-based ad groups. You know, whether you're doing a corporate limo service or wedding limo service, you want ad groups for the types of services you are offering. So again, guys, vehicles, vehicle plus location, and then service-based ad groups.
What do you see people launching their Google ads with not enough ad groups? Is that why you're talking about these today?
Yeah, 100%. Most of the campaigns I audit are only using a small hand group, a small handful of ad groups. Many I see only use one or two, and they'll have 100, 200 different keywords in the ad group with, you know, 20 or 25 different ads. And what people are thinking is that Google is going to match the search query to the ad, but that's not what happens. You need to segment your ad groups by the keywords and the ads that match up together. And so you probably want at least 20, 25 different ad groups, but it really depends on your budget. A lot of my campaigns have, you know, several hundred ad groups.
Right. It's, you know, I think we mentioned this a few weeks ago. One of the clients that were I brought you in to work on with us, who has a pretty significant monthly budget. I think when we deployed, you had over 400 ads or ad groups, you know, set up for them, correct? You know, yep. It's an interesting topic because it's a little bit different with Facebook ads. But one of the problems that I see with Facebook ads is that people deploy one ad and they're not testing. And we're going to talk about this in a future episode, but one of the things, anytime that you're doing paid traffic, and whether it's Google, Bing, Facebook, you know, YouTube ads, whatever, we haven't even gotten into YouTube ads yet, probably a future, you know, episode, But with Facebook ads, one of the problems that I see is you're not testing your targeted audiences, right? So the other thing that I look at, and when Mark is talking about Google ads, and as I reference in Facebook ads, you can test your audience. In Google ads, you really can't. But you need to also test your audience in Google ads based on your keywords. Because you may have one type of ad copy, and I know Mark's going to talk about this later in the show. You may be going after the party bus crowds in, you know, LA or San Diego or whatever it is, but you can't use the same strategy specifically for a corporate traveler, say an executive admin or a travel manager. So that's why you need to go in and test. And I think, you know, I don't know, Mark, it's been maybe 3 weeks since we launched that campaign with, you know, 400 ads. I assume you probably turned some of them off by now, right? You kind of are able to go through and pick the winners and the losers. That's one of the reasons for doing so many, correct?
Yeah, well, a lot of people turn them off too soon. You really have to have a statistical significance in order to make that call. But yeah, once there's sufficient impressions on each ad, then you can start figuring out which ones to turn on or off based on the metric that you're trying to improve, whether that's click-through rate or conversion rate or things like that.
Awesome. Good stuff, Mark. Chris, what do we got next?
Bill, what are the benefits of using sponsored emails?
Sponsored email. So remember, this is the paid traffic show. So what that means is anything, any medium that you're investing financially into to drive traffic to your website. I just want to clarify that. So I've gotten a few messages from people that think this is just about Google ads and just about Facebook ads, and that's not the case. Anything that you're investing dollars in to drive traffic to your website or to drive traffic to get a meeting or to your business. So one of the things that I see that's very highly overlooked in our industry, but is leveraged extensively in other industries, and I kind of call this the Kardashian effect, right? We talked about influencers and influencer marketing a couple episodes ago. Well, a very similar thing with email lists. So if you are a high-end luxury service, which most of you guys are, it doesn't matter if you're in the retail side or if you're in the corporate side, and we're just getting into prom season, right? So I used to play golf at a country club that had million-dollar plus homes in it about 20 minutes south of Nashville called the Governor's Club in Brentwood. So if I'm getting ready to launch and start booking for proms, I may do a sponsored email in their newsletter, right? And I may give a special deal or I may give a discount, and I want to leverage the influence of the club's newsletter to all of their homeowners and members that live there, right? Well, I see this happening all the time with restaurants, with bars, with clothiers that come in and do trunk shows at these types of places, right? It's leveraged if you're on an email list for high-end real estate agent, if you live in a high-value area, high-value part of your town, you know, where Mark lives in Los Angeles, think Bel Air, think Beverly Hills, think Malibu. Every one of you guys would pay Mark to do PPC. Every one of you, a lot of you, some of you in that market have paid us to do Facebook ads to target them. Well, what about the real estate agents that have sold them their homes? You know, the people you see on million-dollar listing, you know, or whatever that is, to be able to leverage their influence. If you're in the retail side, think about the venues that, you know, think about, you know, the bridal shops. We're getting into wedding season here in a few months. The bridal shop is making contact with the bride way earlier in the sales cycle than you are. So if you can get onto their email list and be marketing through them, is whether it's a little excerpt, whether you become their preferred vendor, one, it's going to give you more credibility. Two, it's opening up your brand to everybody on their list, right? So there's a tremendous amount of benefit, and it usually costs little to nothing. So when I was in the industry, we had a place here called, I think it was Weddings 101. And what they did is they made money by bringing all the vendors together and helping you. They basically became your concierge or your very cheap planner to help you choose the photographer, the venue, you know, the place to get your dress, your tuxes, your transportation, all that type of stuff. Excuse me. So one of the first places that I went to was to partner with them, right? And I wanted to get earlier into the sales cycle. So I did become a sponsor of theirs. I did advertise with them, and I got into their emails, which they had a database of, I think it was like 18,000 people, and I only had probably 300 or 400 on the wedding side. So I was able to penetrate, and I didn't do this until I sold to Grand Avenue, and they had vintage vehicles to where we were selling directly into the wedding segment. So you look at real estate agents, you look at venues, you look at wineries, you look at breweries. Depending on the vertical that you're in, find those influencers and just inquire and see if you can get onto their list. Now, those of you that are in motor coaches and into sports teams, you know, think about your church newsletters. You know, if you go to church, and think about probably the two best emails that I was able to get into and endorse by was the Tennessee Titans and the Nashville Predators. Hopefully that helps you guys.
It's great stuff, Bill.
Thanks.
Mark, what makes really good ad copy?
Yeah, so I'd love to give an example. So I was building out a client's campaign yesterday, and I was kind of looking at what all the competition was doing, and I noticed one thing. A lot of them were talking about the same thing. They were saying, you know, we have the best prices. We have, you know, the newest equipment, latest model vehicles, things like that. And that can be good, but if we want to step it up a notch, we really want to talk about the benefit the client is getting from using your service. And so to get into the mind of someone who goes on these wine tours, I actually went to Yelp and to do some research. So I looked for companies that had a lot of good reviews, and I just started reading the reviews, and I saw what the people were saying. And many times when you do this, you're going to find people are saying the same thing over and over again. And what I found with wine tours, what people were really looking for is more of a concierge. They were looking for someone who was experienced, someone who knew what they were doing, someone you could call that knows the best vineyards to go to, the best places to eat lunch at, you know, the best places to eat dinner at, and someone that can give them recommendations and plan kind of a day for them. Because a lot of people aren't familiar, you know, with the vineyards or the areas, or this could be if you're doing bourbon tours or whatever. So really you want to try to get inside the head of your ideal client and figure out what sort of benefit are they looking to achieve from hiring your service. And so the ads I wrote had to do with things like, let us plan your day, you know, your wine tour concierge, things like that. Because really, we have to think about what people want to feel, and we want to try to convey that in our ads. You know, they want to feel safe, they want to feel taken care of. And so those ads are typically going to attract more people, get you higher click-through rates, and therefore lower cost per clicks. And then you get out of being that commodity and you get into being someone that's providing an actual experience for them. And therefore, you can typically command higher rates if you do that. What do you think about that, Bill?
So, I mean, I think Mark's 100% correct. I think this is not a Google Ads question. I think this is just a copy in general, you know, question and advice that he's giving. One of my mentors, probably 5-6 years ago, my life changed in regards to ad copy and even sales positioning, right? And he said, stop selling features, stop selling benefits, and start selling the outcome. You know, and, you know, we're getting ready to go into prom season. I'll use this reference again, right? And if you look at the outcome of what the kids desire at the end of prom is critically different than the outcome of what the parents desire at the end of prom, right? So the parents are all about safety. They want to make sure that they don't have any issues with alcohol, or they don't go someplace that they can get in trouble, whatever that is, right? And it might even be little Eddie Haskell. They may have a halo over their son or daughter's head, but they're worried about one of their friends. So if you can reassure the parents through your logistics, through your procedures, through the NLA, you know, prom promise, all those things, and you don't really have enough room in what Mark's talking about because the Google ad copy is limited, but in your Facebook ad, your email, your website copy, your sales process, your CSR scripts, all that other stuff, to reassure them that they're going to be safe. That's the value proposition for the parents, right? On the kids' side, if you want to, you know, reiterate and show them the interior of last year's parties inside the party bus and the lights going, and they want to, because the kids still want to, they can't really party the way they want to party at the destination at the prom, right? So they kind of want to be able to do it in the vehicle. So if you think about the outcomes, and this is just one service type that you guys provide, but two different buyers, their outcomes are different, and the reason they buy is because of that outcome. It's not because of the features and the benefits. And this is one of the reasons that every single, all nine boot camps that I've ever ran, we start with this. Pain points, solutions, you know that. Then you build to that outcome. And if you sell the outcome, people will buy from you.
Great stuff, Bill. What are some solid places to run banner ads?
You know, I'm not an overly big fan of banner ads traditionally. They need to be really, really targeted. So, I mean, this will be a short segment. Really, I believe that if you're going to invest into banner ads, they should be kind of through a sponsorship through your trade associations like GBTA, MPI, ILEA. But we have actually had success with some larger companies that have even used like the Rob Report. And you think about, you got to think about your buyers, right? And this is really what I want you guys to understand, is you have to get into the psychology of your buyer that you're trying to target specifically. If you're still sitting back and just selling retail services and corporate services, man, going to crush you all day long because you're not targeted enough, right? So the Rob Report was for one of the highest end luxury ground transportation companies in our industry. And I mentioned some cities that are, you know, pretty close to Mark. They were based out of Malibu, California. So we were targeting Malibu. We were targeting Bel Air. We were targeting Beverly Hills. We were targeting people that are interested in $500,000 vehicles that can actually afford them. We were targeting the high-end, you know, cities around Manhattan. We were targeting segments of Manhattan, right? So it's all about this targeted component to the buyers through the Rob Report. And if you think about those, you know, different components on web assets, you know, weddings, the Weddings 101 that I told you about in the previous segment here, we would put a banner ad and we paid for it on their site because they generated close to 28,000-30,000 visitors a month. And most of them are going to be qualified prospects for who I would want to click on that ad. The whole next thing is, how are you paying for those banner ads, right? So a lot of people are going to, you know, sell you based on total website impressions, like what Mark and I, you know, cost per mil, if you will. And I believe you need to understand how to buy those banner ads. If you're just going to be on one page, whether it's a home page, an internal page, a blog page, you don't want to pay for site-wide traffic. So you need to get the analytics based on that individual page if you're going to pay for banner ads. But make sure that it aligns with your buyer persona. So when I was at Silver Oak, that country club I mentioned to you, the Governor's Club, one, I was a member there. That's where I pulled almost my first $1 million in revenue out of, but I didn't know everybody there. There was about 500 members. I probably knew 100 to 150 of them. So I actually put a banner on their website. I did advertise in their newsletter because I wanted to reach those other 350 people that, if they can afford to be a member there, they're a prospective client for me.
Mark, what are ad extensions and why should you use them?
Sure. So ad extensions, when you guys look at a Google AdWords ad, there's a few different pieces to it. So the first piece is going to be the headline. And there's three headlines now, but Google typically only shows two of them. And the headline is what you can click on. It's the clickable text. And then below that, you'll see the URL. And below that, you're going to see there's the descriptions. But you'll notice that sometimes when you search, you sometimes see the option to call, and you sometimes see links below the ad. Sometimes you see a promotion below the ad. Those are going to be your site links. So there's several types of different site links. There's things like, of ad extensions, there's things like site links, callouts, structured snippets, message extensions, call extensions. And here's what you need to understand about this. Google shows them all randomly. So which one should you be using? You should be using all of them, because the more site link or the more ad extensions that you use, the larger space your ad is going to be taking up. And the larger your ad is, the higher your click-through rate is going to be. And again, the higher your click-through rate, the lower your cost per click is going to be. And so I have clients that ask me all the time, why is my phone number not showing up? You know, did you enable text messaging for my ad? And I always say the same thing. I don't choose when Google shows those. And so it's completely up to Google when those different things are showed. And so some of the extensions I don't see enough companies using are things like price extensions. And you can list the different vehicles you have and their hourly rate. Promotion extensions, if you have, let's say, prom coming up and you're offering some sort of discount for prom, or you have an event in your area that's coming up, like the Indy 500, you could add a promotion extension for that. So just remember this, use every single ad extension you possibly can, because that's going to make your ad larger, which in turn will lead to a higher click-through rate, which will lower your cost per click, which will lower your cost per client acquisition, which that's what we're trying to do here.
Good stuff, Mark.
Bill, tell us about influencer marketing and brand association.
It's all about the Kardashians. I mean, it's really that simple. If you understand really how, you know, people are leveraging the Kardashians and how Kylie Jenner, you know, built her, I don't even know what the heck it's called, her lip kits, you know, business to almost $1 billion. It really was through the family influence, starting with Kim, and then it turned into whatever the mother's name is, and then Chloe, and, you know, they started their Dash and they have the show. And, you know, I mean, I remember, you know, Empire CLS was using product placement. The Kardashians, you know, were a client of theirs. And when they have, they still have their show, but, you know, 5-6 years ago when they had an apartment in Manhattan, and when I think Kim got married to Kanye, you know, they had their bottles of water everywhere. And instead of just having them in the vehicles, they would ship them or deliver cases, a bottle of water. So they would see the Empire CLS branding logo, you know, all over that television show. Now, many of us don't have access to that, but what we can use, especially if we're in the retail side of the business, we can use Instagram as an example for weddings, for to reach kids, for nights out on the town, you know, even Snapchat to have, you know, people give you shout outs. There's plenty of websites out there that you can just Google influencer marketing, and you can pay small dollar amounts to be able to leverage in specific markets as well. So I remember a deal that I did with a guy named Chris Johnson, CJ2K. He rushed for over 2,000 yards. He's probably the second best running back in the history of the Tennessee Titans. And his rookie year after he was drafted, his agent, and I'd never heard of him before, you know, said, well, it wanted to do, you know, basically trade limo service at that time before the NFLPA had their drug and alcohol policy and their safe driving policy along with the NHL. And so we traded out, you know, limo services for Chris to do some plugs for us. And I actually ran some television commercials. We did some videos and, you know, used his name and likeness. And, you know, then I wanted to get into a different demographic. So I did it with Frank Wycheck, who was a tight end, and kind of drew a completely different demographic than what Chris Johnson did. So I also think there's Facebook groups, right? And I don't see a lot of us really going in and researching and leveraging. There's so many mommy blogger Facebook groups. There's, you know, buy sell groups. There's all these different types of groups. There's business travel groups. If you think about what LinkedIn used to really be, and they're trying to revive, you know, their groups, and it was all professional. There's a lot of professional groups that are happening on Facebook as well. One, some of them allow you to do sponsored posts. Two, if you can actually donate some of your services in in-kind trade, then you can probably get some free sponsored posts or at least some mentions about specific service. So if you can get into a local bridal group, you can get into a local mom's group, you can get into a local business group. It's like one that we have here in Nashville just doing some really quick research, like 2 minutes worth, is I found a CEO golf group on Facebook. They have 127 members of it here in Nashville, Tennessee. I'd never heard of it before until I did that research. Probably gonna have to dust off my sticks when it warms up a little bit, join that group, and go play a few holes with them.
Mark, what should you be doing with your site links?
Yeah, so before I get into that, I forgot one other extension I wanted to mention that is very important that you should all be using is your location extension. And that extension, when you see that three pack, when the map shows up, when you do a search and you see those three businesses in that map pack, many times you'll see a business at the very top of it that says add next to it. That is a location extension on Google Ads. And what you have to do is you have to hook up your Google Ads account to your Google My Business account for that to show. So very important. You always want to have that enabled. Now, as far as site links go, what I see most companies doing is linking to the inner pages of their website. So for instance, if they have a wedding page or they have, you know, a fleet page, a contact us page, they're using those for their site links. That's fine, so long as those pages have those elements that you want on all landing pages, like a quote request form above the fold, a phone number above the fold. But most websites I see do not have those elements. And so what I do with my clients is I create 4 to 5 separate landing pages that are just for the site links themselves. And I send traffic. The people that click on the site links go to those pages. And I don't use things like fleet, about us, services. The things I use are benefits, like maybe you have all-inclusive rates. Maybe you offer 24/7 customer service. Maybe you can book online in seconds. And so those are the things I like to use in the site link text instead of the same things everyone else is using, which are links to their inner pages. So site links are just another opportunity to convert that prospective searcher into a lead. And we want to use every opportunity we can at our disposal. So remember, guys, with your site links, send them to individual landing pages that have a form above the fold and your phone number, and you're going to be well on your way to a really successful Google Ads campaign.
That's great stuff, Mark. You know, those site links are really, really important, and I agree with you. Too many people are just, one, they're sending all their traffic to their homepage, or two, they're using their internal pages that aren't designed for conversion, which is something that we're going to actually talk about on next week's episode right here in the Limo Growth Group, also on the Bill Faith Facebook page at 1 o'clock Central every Tuesday. You can join me and Mark here. You can send in your questions. You can ask live. We didn't get any questions today, but hopefully next week that'll change. As we lead into next week, Mark's going to be talking about 80-20 with keywords. I've got what types of ads on Facebook convert at the highest. We're going to get into when you should create a funnel, also industry average traffic for websites, and so much more. Look, if you guys missed the show, you can catch it on the recording on the Limo University YouTube channel and any place that you listen to podcasts. This episode is up within 24 hours after we complete it. And that is on Google, it's on iTunes, it's on Stitcher, it's everywhere. Look forward to seeing you guys on the next episode of the Paid Traffic Show.